quick before we're done. I was kind of given orders to go ahead and minister tonight. That's one thing Brother Ben said. He just wanted me to minister and preach. And so we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. So good to have these brothers and their families here with us this evening. Pastor Hunt, good to have you here. God bless you and your family. And these other commanders, God bless you. Appreciate you being here. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. 15 through 17. I'm not sure how this is going to go because it's not necessarily totally geared this way, but I do think it's universal. So maybe all of us can receive from the Word tonight, because I'm dealing with a universal topic. Everybody that's breathing oxygen in here tonight has faced challenges in your life. And so we're gonna go that direction, and I've just called it Overcoming Challenges. 2 Samuel 21, if you want to stand for the reading of the Word, that would be great. 2 Samuel 21, 15 through 17. We have a fellowship with food that's been prepared back there in the back after the time of benediction and prayer here. We'll go back there and fellowship, so we invite everybody to come and be a part of that, all right, to congratulate Brother Ben Ramey. 2 Samuel 21, 15, if you're there, say amen. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Notice verse 16. And Ishbi-Benob. We got any of those folks in here? Got names like that? Ishbi-Benob, which was one of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword. Look at look how this describes this giant. Okay? He's got this huge spear. He's got a brand new sword that he's just ready to break in. Yeah. He thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zerikah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Father, tonight we come to your word. We felt your presence in a special way. We've celebrated together. We're going to continue to do that throughout the evening. But Lord, I ask that you would grant, Lord, just a word from heaven, a now word for each of our lives. Speak to each of us in our various ages and stages of our walk with you. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that have not embraced Christ as their Lord and Savior, surrendered all of their heart to him, I ask that they would do just that before they leave our presence. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've got to hurry. David slew Goliath. We remember that great story. Everybody knows the triumph that transpired after that. Here's what we normally think, though. David faced one giant. We usually only think one giant, Goliath. So he slew him. And a lot of times we think it was all fame and glory for the rest of David's life. But how many know that's a wrong assumption? The truth be told, how many know that Goliath was not the only giant that David faced. He faced lots of giants, physically and spiritually. As we look in our text, it says that here's a guy named Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the descendants of Goliath, whose spearhead weighed 30 shekels, somewhere around, 8 to 9 pounds maybe. He was armed with a new sword, and he accepted the challenge to go after David. Now, anybody ever been a bar fighter before you come to the Lord? Good. That's good. If you were, hopefully you have come to the Lord. I haven't ever been one. But I've heard that if you're a good bar fighter, everybody in the bar wants to fight you. Hello. I want you to think about that in that way for David. David whipped the ultimate bar fighter, a.k.a. the fighting champion of the Philistines. How much do you think the other Philistine fighters desired to kill David? And here we have Ishbi-Benob, and he says, look, I'll take him on. I'll take him down. I think David was attacked by people like that from the moment he slew Goliath. I think, in a sense, slaying Goliath did not stop his giants. They increased his giants. Later, he becomes king over Israel. How many people do you think wanted to kill him? To defeat him? Just for the fame of it. Verses 15 through 22 in this chapter, 2 Samuel, we find four other giants, maybe Goliath's sons who came after David. If they couldn't get to David, they wanted to get to the people David loved. They went after the men that served under David. They're just going to do all they can to kill David or kill somebody David loves. 1 Chronicles 20 tells us about the brother of Goliath who fought David's servant and David's nephew. So imagine how bad the brother of Goliath or the son of Goliath wanted to get David or somebody David loved. The giants, what I'm saying is the giants, the challenges kept coming. That's what's significant for us to realize. Giants will always come in our lives. Don't think for a second that our adversary, Satan, is going to send just one giant in our lifetime. It'd be good to know that, wouldn't it? Huh? But don't think that it's going to be just one hardship, one difficulty, one strong temptation, one mess that he's going to send your way. He's not going to send just one. He's going to send giant after giant. Challenge after challenge. And the purpose of every one of those giants is to destroy us. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to the people you love. How many people have learned that to be true? I mean, he will keep sending giants, and every one of them is intended to destroy you or intended to destroy those you love, those that have a relationship with God. So he keeps sending them, and every one of them is intended to destroy, and it only takes one giant to destroy us. It doesn't matter how many giants you've conquered up until this point in your life. It does not matter how many times you've been victorious over temptation. It only takes one time of failing and you'll be destroyed. The giants keep coming. And here's the truth. We won't just face one person in our life who'll desire to take us down. It might be people who are powerfully, politically, economically, educationally. It might be a boss. It might be a teacher. It might be a neighbor. But there will be people who will try to take us down spiritually. Sometimes it's people that just want to hurt you, whether it's a classmate, a coworker. Sometimes it's people, God forbid, but sometimes it's people in the church that hurt us. Okay? The truth is, trouble keeps coming. You get through one financial hardship, believe me, that won't be the last one. You get through one medical crisis and one struggle or difficulty, that won't be the last one, probably. Not only do you have people who will keep coming and troubles that will keep piling up, but worst of all, the temptations, they keep coming. It doesn't matter if you've overcome a biggie temptation, so to speak. There's going to be another big one follow it. You remember Christ, he was tempted in the desert right after he was baptized, right there while he was on a, what was it, 40-day fast. He was tempted not just once, but multiple times. And after Jesus handled one temptation using God's word, responding the right way, the devil leaves him, and most people think, well, that was it. But notice Luke 4:13 tells us the devil left him a while until a more opportune time. The picture is that temptations keep coming. Brother Ben, there's going to be a lot of challenges that keep presenting themselves to you. Right? David had been victorious over many temptations. He's been writing psalms and he's been spiritually strong. And a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart, but he gets to one point and one temptation with a pretty little woman takes him out. Huh? The temptations will keep coming. And ultimately, the only enemy that we have to be concerned about is our enemy, the devil, who desires to wreck our spiritual life, because nothing else that he does to us can really matter in a long-term sense. If you get a hold of that fact, we are promised as believers eternity in heaven with no trouble, sorrow, pain. The only thing the devil can do is mess us up, messing up our relationship with God, who's giving us that promised eternity. And he will not stop trying to mess that up as long as we are alive. And it doesn't matter how poor we are, how broke we are, how many times we go through bankruptcy. It doesn't matter unless he can mess up our relationship with God in the process. He'll be glad he did. And it doesn't matter how many people oppose us or come against us. The whole purpose of every giant that comes into our lives is to mess with our hearts, to mess with our relationship with God and our relationship with his people and our families. And so I actually want to tell somebody, beware, there's giants coming. There's giants coming. Right? They did in David's life. They're going to come in ours. But what I want to share with you tonight is what to do if the giants keep coming and what to do to be ready for them. Number one, I want to give you three things that you must never do and then three things you must always do. Three things never do, three things you must always do. Number one, don't ever let them take you by surprise. Don't ever let the giants take you by surprise. Peter said it this way. He said, friends, don't think it strange. Don't be surprised at this fiery trial, this suffering. He's saying, expect it. Giants are going to keep coming in your life. Everybody remembers. Anybody remember Michael Jordan? Okay, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Michael Jordan, during his last years of his career, it's widely understood from what I read that if it was ever time to be man on man, he was double teamed. And so he constantly faced more opposition than anybody else on the team, right? Has anybody else heard that? There were always more people trying to stop him than for the average player. Right? Now, can you imagine Michael Jordan going to Bill Jackson, his coach, and saying, Coach, come on. I mean, they're trying to stop me from shooting the ball. They're putting their hands up and tell him, Coach, tell them to get their hands down. Hello.
Coach, he took the ball from me. Tell him to give it back.
No, it didn't work that way. Huh? No, because he knew that if you're scoring points, the opposing team is going to oppose you all the more. And if you're making any kinds of gains for the kingdom of God, the enemy is going to send more giants into your life. The more you do for God, why? Because you're making a positive influence. You're making a difference for God. Don't let it take you by surprise when the devil shows up on your doorstep. This Jesus told the 12 who were the closest to him, he said, in this world you will have trouble. Count on it. He said, if they call me Beelzebub, what are they going to call you? Get ready for it. If they sought to kill me, they're going to seek to kill you. So just expect it. Don't ever let the giants take you by surprise. Be constantly aware that we are going to be under the attack of the enemy if we make a decision to serve Jesus Christ with all of our heart. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching, Ben. Is it okay? All right, he gave me the heads up. Thumbs up. Whatever. The second thing, don't ever let your guard down. The book of 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul tells us, let me put it in my paraphrase, be on guard, stand firm in the faith. That means constantly. I can't afford to let my guard down, and neither can you. All the devil's waiting for is for us to drop our guard. He may send a whole lot of punches our way while we've got our guard up. And then as soon as we think, okay, it's over, and we drop our guard like David, we can find ourselves with one punch and we're out. He may send a whole lot of punches our way. Listen, friends, don't ever let your guard down. Don't ever drop it. Listen, the next one is this. Don't be afraid. Everything these days, it's driven by fear, right? Everything is driven by fear. It seems unrealistic to even say, don't ever be afraid. It's unrealistic. So maybe we ought to change it to, don't ever stay afraid. Because our first response might be fear. But what Christ wants us to know is we've got nothing to fear. Christ told his disciples, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body and afterwards they can do no more. What he's saying is there's nothing that they can do to you because all they can do is kill the body. And what's that going to do? Well, it's just going to get you a quicker ticket to heaven. Right? David said this when he was in Gath and the Philistines were upon him. He wrote Psalm 56:11 from what I've heard. He said, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Praise God. Praise God. Can you picture David saying that as he goes out to the battlefield against the Philistine? What can this guy do to me except give me a quicker pass to heaven? Listen, he can't do anything to me because not even death has power over us. And in if not even death has power over us, what are we worried about? If death has no power of us, we are guaranteed victory. I said, we are guaranteed victory. Isn't that a great thing? Let me say it again. We are guaranteed victory. So don't stay afraid. Don't be afraid, Brother Ben. All right. Now we've seen the three things that we must never do. Let's see three things we must always do. Number one. Always wear your armor. If I'm going to always be vulnerable, I need to always be prepared with my armor on. God wants us to know it. Keeping our armor on all the time. Ephesians chapter 6, 10, 12. We may not always be in physical danger, but believe me, we are always in spiritual danger. We have a spiritual enemy who desires to undo us. We have a spiritual enemy who desires to mess up our relationship with God, keep us out of heaven eternally. That's his goal. It should concern us. We should always have our armor on because we are never beyond the attacks of the spiritual enemy. So let's make sure that we've got our armor on all the time. Paul concludes this passage by saying, notice he says, praying in the Spirit, always, without ceasing. pretty much on all occasions. He's saying the bottom line of what it means for you to be strong in this battle is for you to have the Spirit of God with you and in you. Do you know the one thing that set David apart from all the other Hebrew boys hiding in the bushes? The thing that made him so courageous even against the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, and all the giants that he ever faced was that he was personally anointed by God. Oh, Brother Ben, I believe Brother Ben has been anointed. I believe God has a call on his life. And God's Spirit actually was with David in a very personal way. That's what set him apart from everybody else. Today, God desires to set us apart. His desire is that everybody who follows him have the same sacred anointing that David had. It's in the book of Acts 2:17. In the last days, he said, I will pour out my Spirit, what? On just a few? No, he says, all flesh. Anybody that wants it, that includes you, that includes me. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. There is restoration, there is redemption, and there is anointing for your life. So Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions so that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit and aware that the attacks of the devil is coming against you. That's the only way we're going to survive. And so always put on your armor and notice that we have no armor assigned to what? The back. The back. It's been said that the point that was being made here is that we're not to turn our back to the devil and run from him, and that's well and good. But I'd like to look at it a little differently tonight, and that's simply this. Why don't we cover each other's back? Hello? I've got your back, brother. I got your back, Brother Ben. One of the greatest deceptions of the battle between David and Goliath is it can make us think that spiritual battle is just a me thing. I mean, it's against the giant, so it's just me and God. Me and God make a majority, so we win everything. So we get the idea that we don't need other people. David needed other people. If you notice in the text, you'll see a long list of people that God brought into David's life. They were called David's mighty men, and I'm going to come to the text. He started with about 3 mighty men, increased to about 30 mighty men, and then I believe he may have even increased again. Why? Because David needed good people in his life. Those that he could trust. God did not create us to be lone rangers. He did not create us to fight giants on our own. He created us to be in a relationship with people who will say, fight on, Brother Ben, I've got your back. Huh? And so as we look at David and see his victorious record, and after he had been king of Israel for a while, we would think that he had every reason to think, okay, I'm the man. I'm the man. No. He still knew that his situation required him to be in a relationship with other men who would have his back. I kind of like the Royal Rangers for that. They build a relationship. And so, sure enough, we come to this text and we meet a guy whose name is Ishbi-benob, who has this brand new sword and says, I'm going to break it in on David. Well, everybody would think, okay, he's facing the wrong one. David is the giant slayer. But the text tells us in verse 16 that this giant found David when he was faint. When he was weary and exhausted. And Ishbi-benob engaged David in combat and would have taken him out. Oh, but thank God there was a guy named Abishai, one of David's friends, who noticed what was happening to David and came to David's rescue. He came to the rescue of David the giant slayer. He was one of David's men who simply said, David, I've got your back. If David was here tonight, he would say, don't try to live this life alone. Huh? All of us need somebody in our lives. Number one, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, we got to have the Lord Jesus Christ who knows us better than anybody. But also we need a good friend who knows us well enough to know, hey, there's a giant creeping up on you.
Hello.
There's a giant sneaking up on you. And if you can't handle him, I'm going to take him out for you. Listen, we need somebody around us, behind us, beside of us that says, cheer up, brother. Cheer up, sister. You're not going to fall to this giant. You're not going to fall in this battle. If I have anything to do with it, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to trust with you. And we're going to trust God to deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. We must get each other's backs covered. You know, and finally, remember this. Remember this. Here's my last point. I believe it's my last one. Yeah, I think it is. Remember this last one. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Somebody say, praise God. Don't ever think for one second you're going to do this on your own. Remember what David said to the Philistine. You come against me with a sword and a spear. So in other words, don't look at your own arsenal. Well, this is how much money I've got. And this is how much education I've got. And this is how spiritual I am. And this is how morally good I am. We don't have anything within ourselves. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags until we bow at the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. Then we'll put the devil on the run. Then God's presence come into our lives. Listen, don't forget what David said. This battle's not mine, it's yours, Lord. We need a generation that'll stand up and say, listen, I'm doing all the fighting I can do, but I understand I'm limited, and I'm going to reach out and trust the Lord. The giants keep coming, the battle's the Lord's. As long as I'm with Him and He's with me, we're going to make it. You're going to make it, Brother Ben. God's going to help you. And what God is reminding us here is there's going to be giants. The troubles are coming. There's going to be temptations that keep coming. But don't ever let them take you by surprise. Don't ever let your guard down. And don't ever stay afraid. Keep your armor on. Always get each other's back. Always remember that the battle is the Lord's. And you'll never be defeated. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. I've just given you the key to live a victorious life. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1:8, Paul said it this way. Being confident of this very thing. Come to the piano, sister. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's somebody here today. You're still hiding in the bushes. You still haven't stepped out and been able to face the giants in your life. You've constantly been defeated. You've constantly been unable to overcome the temptations. You've been unable to overcome the problems in your life. You've failed to realize that you need the Lord to fight your battles. And tonight is a night that you can say, God, I recognize this battle is too big for me. I'm tired of trying to do it by myself. Would you stand with me? I'm tired of doing this by myself. Others are here that need to say, God, I've let things take me by surprise. I thought that once I gave my life to you, everything was going to be great. But this has totally taken me by surprise. When this thing and that thing hit me, it took me by surprise. It knocked the wind out of myself. What you need to say is, help me never to let these giants take me by surprise. keep me aware that the giants will keep coming back. Some people are here tonight. You're at a place where, like David, maybe you've let your guard down. Like David, you're down for the count. Your nose is bloody. You're spiritually in the depths of despair. And you, like David, need to say, "Have mercy. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy, Lord, because I dropped my guard and I've been decked. But I need somebody to pick me up. Lord, I need you to heal my wounds. I need you to make me strong again. I'll never drop my guard again. Please help me. Please restore me." I'm going to tell you, there's a healer in the house. Thank you, Jesus. There's a healer here for your heart. All you got to do is say, "God, forgive me. Set me back on my feet again. Let me never drop my guard again." Some of you are here. Maybe you fall in the category of being afraid. You need to hear God saying, "Don't ever stay afraid. You have nothing to fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear." Somebody here needs to come to the Lord and say, "God, while Pastor was speaking, I just reevaluated my life and I realized I don't have my armor on. I don't even know how to put it on. I haven't been in God's Word. I haven't been getting strong. And I need to start getting my armor on because I've been getting hit over and over and over." Somebody here needs to come and say, "I've been doing this without getting anybody's back. And nobody's had my back. I've just kind of been that loner." You need to come and commit yourself to the Lord first of all, and then commit yourself to a strong relationship to a brother in the church or a sister in the church. Brother Ben, why don't you come forward, man? We want to pray for you. I want these brothers to join me, because we want Brother Ben to know we've got his back. Amen? He's not going through life all alone. That's it, sis. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Give me a few sisters. Would you come and help us pray with this dear young lady? Oh, God is in the house tonight, church. Maybe a whole bunch of us need to come before the Lord tonight and say, "God, I want to remember this battle I'm fighting is yours. It's not mine. I don't want to be left to fall to these giants that come into my life. I need your strength. Now unto you that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence and the glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever." He's able. I said, "He's able." Thank you, Jesus. He's able. He still's working in lives. He still changes hearts. He still transforms. All you've got to do is present yourself and ask Him and invite Him. Thank you, Jesus. I want a few more. Would you slip out of your seat? Come and stand across this front. Agree with us in prayer and let's pray collectively together. Can we do that? If you are here and would love to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to admit your need of Him. You need to believe that He is the Son of God. You need to confess with your mouth. It can all happen right around the front. Right around the front. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's going to put words in your mouth. We invite you to come. We ask you to come. Oh, I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of God, sis. God's are working in your life, giving time, giving time. God's working in your life, giving time. He's in your heart. He's working in your heart. Oh, there's some things happening right around these altars. Yes, that's it, young men. I surrender all. I surrender all to you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. God, I'm just going to give you my everything. God, touch Brother Ben. God, move right here, Jesus. We're binding together as brothers.
of the faith, and we've got His back, Lord. We're going to believe together. That's it. I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
And I surrender now to You. I surrender now to You. I surrender now without a compromise. Your will is my command. My life is in Your hands, oh Lord. I surrender.